Hello, welcome back to Football Daniel, your home of Dutch football. I'm Michael Statham, joined by Abdul. It's time for an Eredivisie podcast, the Eredivisie show. Lots to talk about, isn't there, Abdul? The Eredivisie in general. We've been waiting a long time to do this. I'm sure people will be enjoying this on YouTube, on SoundCloud, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to us. Drop us a like, subscribe to us. We'll have visuals up on YouTube, so if you want to follow us on there for this podcast, you'll enjoy it over there too. Abdul, we've just come off the back of watching Final 6 Ajax 0. We will get into that. And teams at the top, teams at the bottom of the table too. But first of all, your thoughts on that game this afternoon, because we're just coming back off the back of that game, quite raw.
Well, my thoughts is Feyenoord is just a great team. You know, it took them some time really to stabilize, to have a stable management, to have a good coach, to have a good quality of players. And we see that the results. We've seen that since last year, actually, and we see that this year too. And of course, this is the second time they beat Ajax this season with big result. 4-0 in the first half of the season and now 6-0. Amazing team, really. I really have to give them all the praise. They deserve it.
Yeah, a cracking performance on them. Good response to drawing with Volendam 0-0 and blown away Ajax 6-0. Like I said, we'll talk about that game first and final and Ajax respectively. We've had people send us in some questions to put out on the show. This one's not live, so if you want to get involved in the YouTube comments, please do down below. Let us know your thoughts on the Eredivisie. Right, so final 6, Ajax 0. Final blew us away with their performance. We will talk about those, I think, because some people have asked us to do that. But Ajax, what a season it is. Like, is it really their worst in their history? Can we say that now? Because of I know they may have finished lower down or they've lost more game, whatever it is, but the fact that they have gone from being one of the top teams in Netherlands to this within a season, to the humiliation of them, their players, their fans, this has got to be their worst season. Just watching them, they're so poor.
Yes, for some part of the season, they were in the bottom of the table.
Exactly.
And I don't recall Ajax being in that position ever, you know. But when you see the quality of the players they have, there is no surprise, really. The team just have been conceding so many goals from mediocre teams. And they cannot even keep clean sheets or even keep the results, you know. I recall many times they score 2 goals and they cannot even manage to win the match. It happened against Utrecht. It even happened against Marseille in the Europa League. It did happen in many occasions. The team is just not good enough. I think what the management did was a disaster, selling all the players and putting an entirely new team. Unfortunately, some players are not really used to this kind of level of football, you know, to this level of football. So we saw the results, and I don't blame Van Schip at all. Actually, he did something good. He brought the team from the bottom of the table to the 5th place, you know, with this quality of players. So he did really a good job considering the circumstances.
That's really interesting, Abdul. I think there'll be people listening to this that fully agree with you, people that disagree with you, with your comments on John Van Schip, and people also that might be quite casual Dutch football fans. Maybe don't know much about the league. I'm often asked when I go on other shows about Ajax and why they are doing so badly. And I think some of this people will go, we know this. Some people might not. So I'll just talk about it in general. Of course, Ajax did have Erik ten Hag, a brilliant playing squad. People left, of course, above the manager as well, that kind of ruined that atmosphere Ajax had had, the attitude they put together, that they were going to be the best club in the Netherlands and buy the best players that they possibly could for this level of football. They were going to build themselves in the Champions League. They were doing that. But then, of course, lost people in the boardroom, lost Ten Hag to Manchester United, lost too many players over 2 summers. That was what did it for me. And then replaced them with quite a lot of rubbish players or players that were obviously very badly scouted by Sven Mislintat. We can all agree it was right for him to leave that club. That's for sure. Right for him to be sacked. And since then, it's just been a case of trying to recover an awful situation, being bottom of the table. Van Schip has come in. Yeah, they're currently in 6th place, but they were in 5th for a little bit. Could still qualify for European football. That is their aim with the remaining 5 games of the season. But yes, just they lost today. Their biggest margin in the Eredivisie they've ever had in their history. Of course, hugely embarrassing, 6-0 to Feyenoord. So what people might they say, Vanet Schip today, the way he's put out his players, you know, they're playing 5-4-1 again, and it's not the Ajax way. Kenneth Taylor at left wing back, why not switch a formation? Why are there so many young players out there? Kaplan's playing, Harter's playing, Klinsen, Hamika Chutz, so many others as well that are just young in general, being 20, 21 years old. Isn't that like putting sort of lambs to the slaughter today? Does he not, or is it just because he didn't have any other options of players to play?
Well, the problem is, I think the players also need to feel the heat, that this is a big match. You know, many players don't really understand the Eredivisie culture, or the culture of the Netherlands, where Ajax and Feyenoord are like rivals, you know.
Yeah,
so maybe the players did not really pay it that much attention. They did not really see where it was going. And if you allow me to say this, I don't think Ajax declined this year only. I think the decline started since Schroeder came to the team, since the departure of Ten Hag. You know, we saw the team declining and declining until it reached or it hit rock bottom this season. I don't blame the players at all. They are young, not experienced. They don't really know the atmosphere of Ajax against Feyenoord. So this is what you get.
Yeah. Add to that, of course, injuries, suspensions that Ajax have recently. And then it's just no surprise. Defensively, all over the place. I do think Vanet Schip is somewhat to blame for that. I know that there aren't enough players available. But you were talking about Feyenoord that couldn't even put a goal past Volendam the other day, who are bottom of the table. Maybe they're not after their game today. Whereas Ajax are meant to be in the cinema top half, fighting for Europe, but lost 6-0. They were sitting deep from the get-go, and just, wow. That the fact that this isn't just a coincidence. Feyenoord had 30 shots. Ajax had one in the game.
Yes.
This is how bad their performance was.
I still don't blame Vanet Schip. You know, the players were down. They were just waiting for the match to end. We could see that. Yeah, it's very difficult for the coach to just, you know, put some, how do I say this, how to make them feel want to play or want to win. The players were down after the first goal. The second goal came right away, only 2 minutes or 3 minutes later. Mm-hmm. That shows you that the team was collapsing, actually. With a young team like this, once you score two goals in a row, it's very difficult to make a comeback. The players just don't have it, you know. And that's how it ended, really.
Thank you, Abdul. I think talking about that game there plenty will please some people that have tuned in, of course, to hear about the latest in the Eredivisie. So a nice place to start. So we've had people comment on Twitter to say, you know, what is happening at Ajax was a comment we had in, was a question to talk about on our podcast here. Another one as well, talk about final, please. Okay, PSV are going to be crowned as champions sooner or later, but this final team is more than reasonable for Dutch league patterns. It has been some time since Feyenoord had last great momentum. And I think they were trying to say that it's been there the past couple of years under Arne Slot. So let's talk about Feyenoord next, Abdul. Fantastic performance today. And I think most of the seasons, had PSV not had such a brilliant start to the campaign, this final team would have really pushed PSV all the way. I mean, they are really. The fact that PSV are... I can't remember the exact number of points to it right now. I think it's 9 points, isn't it? As we stand with five games to go. Yes, 9 points.
17 points for PSV.
And, you know, Feyenoord could still end the season on 84 points if they win their last five games. That's a really high total for an Eredivisie team. And then to come second. So this is how good this team are. We will talk about PSV next, I think. But Feyenoord are having a very strong season. Arne Slot, obviously, wants that big move for his career. I'm sure at some point he could have had it last summer, turned down Spurs. And instead, he's gone on this season hoping to win something with Feyenoord. It might turn out to be the Dutch Cup to push them further in Europe. He was unlucky against Rome in the Europa League. Two-pronged question, really, Abdul. What do you think about Feyenoord this season? And where does this leave Arne Slot's career?
This is what they always say. Numbers speak for themselves. Feyenoord last season, they won the league with two defeats only. And that was the best record for them since 1994, where they only lost two matches in the entire season. But in 1994, they were second, actually, because they had too many ties, too many draws. But last season, they only had two defeats. This season, they are only having two defeats as well. So that shows you the team is really stable and it's really going in a good direction. They were not lucky in the Europa League. I think they were not lucky in the Champions League as well. They started very well in the Champions League, but because it's a young team also, they don't really have an experience. They collapsed in the second half of the Champions League, where they lost three matches in a row. But of course, they can only save the season by winning the cup. They only have, they are playing Nijmegen in the final. I really have respect for Nijmegen as well. They are having a very good season.
Yeah, let's talk about them later.
Yeah, but I think Feyenoord deserves to win something, really. And of course, this is the first time ever Ajax loses to Feyenoord home and away since the season 2005-2006. So it's almost been 20 years where Ajax lost home and away to Feyenoord. But at that time, the defeats were 2-1, 3-2. But this time, 4-0 and 6-0. That shows you how great Feyenoord is doing this season. About Slot, I know he signed a contract until 2026, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if they can keep him for one more season. I mean, he has all to play for. He will have a Champions League next season. He could win the league again with the Feyenoord next season. For me, as a fan of Dutch football, I hope he stays. I really hope he does. But maybe some other clubs will try to reach him, you know, and pay him more to come and travel and coach some big European club.
I absolutely agree with you. I think that Slot probably will go this summer, but it would be fantastic for Dutch football to keep hold of him for longer. If he does stay, this final team will lose one or two players, three players maybe over the summer. But I think they're in a position, if they keep Slot, to keep building and to, like you said, go for the Dutch title next season. They're in the Champions League again. So it's all in Slot's favour if he wants to stick around. There are a lack of strong Dutch managers right now in the game, in my opinion, your opinion, and in Mike's opinion as well, when he talks on our shows, that there aren't enough young coaches really coming through. It's sort of like a recycling of managers that have been around before. For example, the Ajax manager this summer, that will be super interesting. Who are they going to go for? Do they go for someone who is foreign? Do they go for Pep Linders at Liverpool? Do they go for Pascal Janssen, who they were sacked from AZ? For me, a boring appointment, but more and more, actually, it's not looking like it will be so bad for Ajax. But yes, final, great season. I think that if they get the Jimenez scoring the goals again as well, he becomes top property again this summer. But with only five games to go, maybe he does go, but his price tag is lowered. Or does he stay at Feyenoord another year? Unlikely, but you've seen more surprising moves in the Dutch Eredivisie over the past 5 to 10 years where players have stayed for longer. So here's to hoping.
So, well, yeah.
Tell me. I think, I was just going to move on to PSV. So is there anything else you want to mention about Feyenoord before we do?
Well, when you spoke about Pascal, can I make a comment about him?
Oh, yeah, Pascal Janssen. See, I don't think he's a great appointment because a bit of a stale one, though. He didn't really set the world alight at AZ. Tactically, I don't think he's that great.
Yes, I was going to say the same thing. So I doubt Ajax will get him. But if they do, I don't think he's going to do a good job there. We saw how he coached AZ. He was good in the first year or second year, but then he had nothing more to offer and the team completely collapsed. And I can never forget this defeat, 4-3 to that Bosnian team. I cannot recall the name. After that, the team was just a downhill, getting bad results until they sacked him. So I don't think it's a good idea to get Pascal. I think it's better to get a foreign coach for Ajax. I don't really think of any Dutch coach for the moment to go to Ajax next season.
Okay, Abdul. Let's move on to PSV, who are, of course, top of the Dutch Eredivisie table. A fantastic season for them. We haven't talked about them in a few months when we last did properly on one of our Eredivisie shows. They were top at Christmas. They won all their games. They have dropped a few points since, but it proves they are human. But PSV Invincibles no more. And it was NEC Nijmegen that managed to beat them. I found that Peter Bosz has kind of criticised his players for dropping some points, poor performances every now and again as well too. but a great response, beating IZ 5-1. I think that they are a team full of attacking talent, and I think if they can strengthen defensively over the summer, they will be a threat in the Champions League as well next season again. But Peter Bosz loves his attacking football, so maybe it's more of the same. Bosz is definitely in it for the long haul in the Netherlands. I think he's quite happy, isn't he? Playing for prizes in the Netherlands, which is good for, again, for Dutch football if PSV are thriving underneath him.
Peter Bosz did a great job with Ajax in 2017.
Yeah.
He proved that he was an attacking coach. I don't know what happened to him abroad where he failed with some teams, but he proved himself again with PSV, playing attacking football, scoring 89 goals in the season, which is a very big number. And of course, losing one match only out of 29, losing one match only in the Champions League group stage. And this is something you don't really see much with the Dutch clubs in the Champions League. The group wasn't easy, but he managed to qualify to the second round, losing only once to Arsenal, losing only once to Utrecht in the league. There is really nothing to say. Numbers speak for themselves. Attacking football, a very determined team. Very experienced players. They know how to win a match, even if they're not playing their best level. So they really deserve the title.
Yeah, final appears to be at the top of this league are two strong teams that are above average with what you would expect at the top of this league. I think it goes to show that the Dutch Eredivisie warrants its sixth best league in Europe position, that the coefficient now says, that we've got that position and we've stayed there another year. So the Eredivisie, of course, getting to enjoy three Champions League places now. Third one being, of course, a qualifying spot. And FC Twente are currently occupying that place. But PSV are showing that they can do it in Europe. I hope that they continue to do that next season as well. I do think someone has to talk about something with PSV specifically. Yeah, so it's Stephen says, is it worrying that PSV in final are so far ahead of the rest? Well, I don't know. I think, is it worrying? Given the state of Dutch football maybe 6 years ago, when the coefficient was so poor and Dutch teams were struggling to compete on a European stage, from that perspective, no, it's not a worry. I think if you're a team that is in the bottom half of the Eredivisie, I think you accept that as part of your life in the Dutch league. But if you were, and this is actually quite unlikely in the Netherlands, but if you were a fan of a mid-table team that wants to become a team in that top two, top three, then it's very unlikely for you to be able to break into that. In the past, we've seen AZ, of course, become a member of that group at the top of the table. We've seen Vitesse come and go a couple of times. Heerenveen have been up there occasionally, but no one's able to sustain that, really. Even AZ, of course, not being really a member of that top two, top three, and will they ever be? Yeah, well, Twente, of course, might be that one that could break that, but they are the biggest side outside of that top three, biggest club, you could say. Don't mean people disagree with that. So the size of the club does help Twente, their ambition as well. However, yeah, what is there to say about the PSV being at the top and being this dominant? Is it a good thing or not?
Well, we've seen that in Germany for years. Bayern München won 11 leagues in a row or 12 leagues in a row. And that really did not affect the German league. It's still one of the top four. And they were for league coefficient. The Dutch
is
league,
it enjoyable to watch though?
Of course, it's not really enjoyable to watch when it comes to that. Yeah, it's not really enjoyable to watch. But I guess it's just a life cycle, as you said. You know,
yeah.
Every now and then there is a team that dominates, or two teams maybe dominate. I think this is how life is supposed to be. We were the 15th in the league, in the UEFA coefficient for the leagues in 2014. Now we are the 6th because the Dutch teams are really performing well in Europe. Vitesse last 2 years ago, they performed very well in the European competitions, but they did not perform good at all in the league. So maybe it's just a different competition. You cannot really compare it, you know. If you're not really doing good in the league, it doesn't mean that you will be performing bad in the European competitions as well.
Yeah, and if it continues to grow the Dutch league, I do think that there are some teams that will now benefit from the top teams doing well, the money filters down the league. There are some teams at the bottom of the Eredivisie as well that I think are getting relegated this season, and they will be replaced by more ambitious, bigger clubs coming up from the Dutch second tier. The likes of, for example, Willem II, who actually are one of the good middle-sized clubs in the Netherlands. And I think them coming back up to Eredivisie, you've got a good fan base, you've got a more ambitious club than the likes of Volendam, unfortunately, Excelsior potentially as well. That it's healthy for the league. We like to see teams come up and be part of the league. Almere City this season been a fantastic watch sometimes, been enjoyable for the neutral fan. But also as well, you do need those bigger clubs to keep the league going and to keep it healthy. And that's a good thing too.
Yeah, well, the only thing that concerns me actually is just maybe changing the coach and getting new players. Some team does like what Ajax did, you know. I hope Feyenoord doesn't do that, neither PSV.
Like they too have much a change in one go.
Yeah, changing so many players, letting the coach go and getting a new coach. That means the team can be destroyed in Europe next season. You need a stable team to play in the Champions League or the Europa League. So I hope that's not going to be the case. For Ajax, I think some players saw that coming, if you don't mind me talking about Ajax. Even Tadic decided to leave the team when he saw the quality of the players. So that tells us something, you know. So I think many people saw where Ajax was going. I just hope they fix this for the new season. They will probably end up in the Conference League, unless maybe Feyenoord win the UEFA Cup. The Cup, and some changes will happen. They will go to the Champions League, and Ajax will go to the Europa League. I don't know how UEFA will manage that, actually, if you have any idea.
Well, yeah, I'd love to talk about it now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share my screen, and I'm going to bring up the Eredivisie table. And we can talk about what will happen with European places this summer. As I say, some people might not know that listen to this podcast. Is that available on the screen, Abdul? Is that nice and clear?
Yeah, I can see that, yes.
So I've got the top half of the table here. And PSV, of course, top, Feyenoord, second. Both of those teams are almost certain how to go to the Champions League group stage next season. Twente in third place, a qualifying spot for the Champions League. It now is. So as of this season, it is changing with the European tickets. If 2020 don't go through in the Champions League qualifiers, they end up in the Europa League group stage. AZ Alkmaar, if at the moment this is a Europa League qualifying spot, but if Feyenoord win the Dutch Cup against NEC Nijmegen, now of course it's not a given, but if we assume that that is the case, Feyenoord would then give up the direct Europa League group stage spot, and that then goes to fourth place. So AZ currently sitting in fourth, rather than a qualifying spot, will get a direct Europa League, a group stage entry. That does mean that there are four Dutch teams guaranteed to be in group stage football next season, and it could be as many as six. You would expect that at least five can make it, because if Feyenoord do win the Dutch Cup, it means that fifth place becomes a Europa League spot, but in the qualifying rounds. And then sixth to ninth becomes the playoffs for the Europa Conference League. Hasn't been that low down in quite a while. I think maybe about 10 years from what I remember, when ninth was as low you could get, still get a playoff spot for the Europa League at the time. But anyway, if NEC Nijmegen win the Dutch Cup instead, it means that the same is as you were the top three. Then fourth place becomes the Europa League qualifying spot, which means they'll be playing playoffs in like August. Then NEC would enter the Europa League group stage, which would be fantastic for that club. And same again, it would be sixth to ninth that would enter the playoffs. But NEC could finish as low as seventh, as low as eighth maybe still. And they just missed out when it comes to the playoffs. And it would just be the highest four teams that would then be the playoff teams. I'm going to put my neck on the line though. I still think Ajax will finish fifth, and that would mean that they end up in the Europa League qualifiers, because I do think Feyenoord will win the Dutch Cup. And I think that it could be anyone's guess as to who wins the Conference League playoffs. NEC, of course, going to have been the strongest team, but could be Utrecht with their runner form. I think what I'd like to see though, me being selfish here for Dutch football's sake, I would like to see NEC maybe win the Dutch Cup or finish at least fifth, and then Ajax win the Conference League playoffs, which leaves them with a strong coefficient going into the July and August Conference League playoffs. We all know how brutal the Conference League playoff rounds can be before the group stage for Dutch teams, because whenever they seem to win a playoff match, they then struggle to make it into the group stage. Vitesse were the last side to do that and had a great run that season, but it was really tricky for them to get through, make it through all these rounds. You've got to make it through three two-legged playoff rounds to make it to the group stage. But I think if you saw Ajax try and do that, I know that people might go, really? Having just seen them lose 6-0 to Feyenoord? I'm going to say, yeah, because I think that after a summer rebuilding, some new players maybe, they can still be better than a lot of teams in those playoffs, being, of course, seeded for every playoff round. But that's just my opinion, Abdul. I think these are all hypotheticals. They could all change. But I do see that being perhaps the most likely scenario.
Yeah, Michael, if you allow me, I did not get the point where if Feyenoord wins the cup, then AZ will go to the group stage of the Europa League, right?
Yeah, correct.
And then from the 5th to the 8th, Nijmegen, Ajax, Go Ahead Eagles, Utrecht, they will play in the playoffs, right, for the Conference League?
No, so 5th place is a Europa League qualifying spot.
Okay.
And then 6th to 9th becomes the playoffs.
Well, maybe then it's better if Feyenoord wins the cup for the sake of Dutch football, you know?
You could argue that, but I think if NEC were then given a ticket to the Europa League group stage, that is good for them. And it also means they won't get knocked out in the playoffs, is a way of looking at it. Then you'll see AZ maybe get through their qualifiers. Again, they're a seeded team when it comes to things like that. Ajax will be a seeded team in all the playoff rounds, whereas NEC Nijmegen, they don't have a coefficient. They haven't qualified for Europe in a long time. So they are likely to get knocked out before they get to the group stage. I hope we're not getting too boring for people, by the way, but there are some people that love talking about the Dutch coefficient or the coefficient in general. And it's got quite popular online, hasn't it? So maybe some people have skipped or gone off our podcast now. Or maybe people are still listening going, oh, I'd love this conversation of where the ticket's going to be for Europe in next season.
Yeah, me too. Sure. No problem. Okay.
Well, we're still at the top end of the Eredivisie. I've still got it on screen here, the table. We haven't talked about Twente or AZ yet, nor NEC yet. So let's spend a few minutes on each of these sides. Twente scraped another win this weekend, beating Fortuna Sittard 2-0. And Josef Oosting is doing a fantastic job there with Twente again in his first season there. I sung his praises when he was at Arkis Ivalvik for squeezing the best out of his side there. He is doing the same at Twente. Have you enjoyed them this season? Now, do I have to admit, sometimes at home they've been brilliant to watch, and other times it's been a bit boring, but they're getting the job done, getting the points, and they could be the Champions League group stage next season if they can get for those qualifiers.
They do have a good team. They do have a good quality of players, younger players with some experienced players, and now they are 8 points ahead of AZ with only 5 matches left, so pretty much the job is done, I think, for Twente, unless a big surprise comes up. They pretty much secured their place for the Champions League playoff. They will start from the third qualifying round of the Champions League, and then if they win, they will go to the playoffs. Yeah. So I think Twente had a very good season after, of course, coming up from the second division 2 years ago. You can see how they built the team, and the team now is very strong, very stable. When it comes to AZ, of course, the departure of Pascal kind of destroyed the team also, because when the new coach came up with his new tactics, the team kept losing also before they started winning again. And that cost them some points. And of course, the defeat against PSV, I don't really blame AZ for that. PSV is just too strong this season for most of the teams in the Eredivisie.
I'm going to respectfully disagree with you, Abdul. I think that AZ they've had a tumultuous season. I don't think it's been good enough, but they're still going to qualify for Europe come the end of the season. I think my problem has been that since Janssen has left, Martin Martins has come in, oversaw a poor run of form. Then they started winning some games and it all looked good again. Confidence was being restored. Then losing 5-0 to Heracles in midweek and then 5-1 to PSV. I do think tactics play a part. And the heads are dropped, obviously conceding early goals, PSV. But they continue to play a 4-3-3. They don't change their tactics. It's always the same. They don't tweak enough. When you go away to PSV, you maybe start Sugawara on the right wing and you play an extra defender. You sit deeper for longer periods and try and play in the counter-attack. It's always the same from them. And it's so predictable. So no wonder they lost 5-1. I know PSV are strong, but they haven't been in that good form recently. Arsenal played into their hands for me.
Well, the loss against Heracles was a big surprise to all of us. I think even the fans of Heracles did not really expect that win. That win was a big surprise. But against PSV, I'm not really sure if it was AZ or PSV. You know, maybe PSV is just too strong. Again, AZ just sacked their coach who had been there for a long time and have a new coach. I'm sure that things will be unstable by then. But at least they managed to be in the fourth place. But of course, they really have to maybe rebuild some parts of the team, you know, for the next season. But most likely, they will end up in the fourth place, as I see in the table.
Yeah. So as you can see, the top positions are pretty much set now, which is why it's a great time to do a podcast, because we can start to reflect upon the end of the season. NEC Nijmegen, they may not yet finish fifth, but they are looking really strong as a sort of best of the rest, if you like, in the Eredivisie table. Even better than Ajax, you can say right now. And they are quite solid defensively. I've loved watching Calvin Verdonk this season. Defence, I think he's had a great season. He could be getting a transfer higher up the league or maybe abroad this summer. You've got like Dirk Proper midfield, who I know Mike is a fan of as well. Nice little midfielder that's doing all right there. Then you've got an attack, Ogawa, who's signed a permanent contract, the Japanese striker. Really good that NEC have managed to hold on to him. And then you've got some decent quality wingers as well. I mean, Sancho Hansen didn't even play really this weekend. You've got Robert Gonzalez, some other players as well that are a good level for this sort of mid-table where it is. All the best to them in the Dutch Cup final. And if they win it, like I said, Europa League group stage ticket could be theirs. If not, I'm sure they'll qualify for Europe in some way come the end of the season. I hope they do. Roger Meyer, their manager, signed a new contract, a new one-year extension, having taken from the Dutch second tier, stabilised them with a mid-table finish in their first season back, and now pushing for Europe, a Dutch Cup final place. He and Joseph Oosting, for me, are the two candidates for manager of the season, maybe Alex Pastoor as well at Almere. Yeah. I hope that was a nice little roundup there of NEC Nijmegen, Abdul, and that you'd like to add. It's just been great to have a team that have pushed above their weight and actually have become a threat to these upper sides. I mean, of course, they were the only team to beat PSV so far this season in the league.
Well said, Michael. I really have nothing to add about it.
I've just watched them quite closely this season. I said at the start of the season that they would be a team. This is me going, look, I knew best because I watched too much Dutch football. But I said that NEC and Go Ahead Eagles would be two of the teams to watch in the top half of the table. I thought they would be pushing for Europa League, Europa Conference League playoffs at the end of the campaign or maybe even fifth. Here we are. You know, they're two teams that are up there. I know that they haven't convinced all of the time. But NEC had a poor start to the season and really turned it round. They got their players back from injury and look at them now.
But I think also Okay, I was saying the competition is going to be very big, you know, if it's going to be Nijmegen, Ajax, Go Ahead Eagle and Utrecht to win one spot for the Conference League. If it ends the way it stands, you know, it's going to be a very difficult playoff. So I don't know if they can survive it really. NEC is having a good season, reaching the cup final and being fifth on the table. But I think you agree with me that the team lacks experience. Maybe in the playoffs, they will not really survive. It will be very interesting to see them playing, really.
I disagree. I think they have got good enough players. I think they've got a good mix of youth and experience in the side. I'll bring in a question actually we had on Twitter because we did have a number on there and it was about Jasper Cillessen from Aranya Canada. And he says, is Cillessen slowly playing himself back into the Aranya squad for the Euros? Of course, this being an Eredivisie centred podcast today. But I do think that Cillessen could be back in Koeman's choice for being the third choice goalie for the Euros if Bailo isn't fit. If not, maybe he's the fourth choice. But either way, I don't think he'll play a big part of the Euros. But yeah, Cillessen at one point was in line to go back with the Netherlands squad. And you've got experienced players such as him. You've got Bram Nautink in defence. Midfield, you've got Lasse Schürrle still, who's around there. I think they're a watchable side. They get lots of points now. And it's all about keeping that team together, I think, over this summer.
Well, if Wijnaldum is back to Orania, then expect everything from Koeman. You know?
Well said.
Yeah.
Some of the teams up there, it's great to see Utrecht pushing with Ron Jans at the helm. He's again like NEC, pushing right up the table. Go Ahead Eagles have been there most of the season. I think their campaign's petering out a little bit, you know, dropping points quite a lot now. Their home form isn't as imperious as it was. Sparta Rotterdam have been steady in mid-table this season after having a great season last season. And Fortuna Sittard seem to have come out of nowhere, and Wolves have had a few poor results in the last few games. You know, Kai Seahouse could go on to make a move this summer now that he scored some goals. And that kind of covers the top 10. And dipping into the bottom half, if I scroll down, it's been a mixed season for the likes of Heerenveen, Peck Zwolle as well. But good to see Almere City, Heracles and Peck Zwolle, the three promoted teams that will all be staying up now that it's almost confirmed they've got enough points to do that. And then you've got the bottom four, RKCL Waalwijk, Excelsior, Vitesse, Volendam. I don't think that's a foregone conclusion yet, but I do think RKCL will stay up in 15th. I think they've got the most favourable fixture list coming up. By the way, if you've been reading my Eredivisie predictions on the Football Danny website every week, you'll know what I've said about the bottom four. But I do think RKCL will stay up. They don't lose games heavily. They stay in them quite a lot. They get draws, narrow wins. If they lose, they only lose by like one goal, even to the top teams. Henk Fraser's done okay there. Excelsior have dropped like a stone after getting, I think it was 13 points in their first eight games, and now only nine from the following, how many games is that? Nine from like the following 21-ish games, losing time after time, so leaky in defence. And then you've got Vitesse and Volendam as the bottom two teams in the table. Abdul, where would you like to start here? There are so many stories within this bottom four. Almere City there in 12th. I didn't even mention Heerenveen, by the way. Just got to say, a very mid-table season for them.
Well, Heerenveen is going to play Utrecht in 2 hours from now. I think this is the last chance for Heerenveen to compete for a European playoff spot.
Yeah, I don't see it coming into the season, unfortunately.
Yeah, if they win, they will be the 10th team. They will have 36 points. They will strongly compete for the Conference League playoff. Of course, they have to overcome the Dutch playoff first. I don't think that will be the case, though. Utrecht looks more stable than Heerenveen. They look stronger, but anyway, it's football. Everything or anything can happen. Almere, I think they secured their place for the next season with 33 points. It's really great how they just managed to draw the last five matches. They got 5 points out of five matches. Oh, six, sorry, yeah. Mm. I think Heracles is also safe. Suwalla is safe. RKC, you believe they will stay, but they are still in the danger zone, you know?
True. They are in danger of still dropping into that bottom three, but I think they will have enough because I just, Excelsior, Vitesse and Volendam are being so bad.
Yeah, well, I think the season is done for Volendam and Vitesse. I think they will be relegated. Maybe it will be a good chance for Vitesse to rebuild the team and make it strong again. Yeah. And for Excelsior, I don't see them going anywhere or doing any better, really. I believe RKC will overcome or will win the 15th place and stay in the Eredivisie. Excelsior maybe will go to the playoffs of the second division.
Yeah, it will stay the way it is.
Yeah.
And there, within these bottom four teams, there are several things going on. I mean, Excelsior, they are likely to, I think, be relegated in the relegation playoffs too. If you look at the record over the past, I think it's around about the past 10 seasons. Richard of Research has written it down. But it's really intriguing because only, I think, one or two playoff teams in that 16th place have stayed up because of how strong those teams are coming up from the Dutch second tier. Excelsior, for me, are goners if they stay in 16th because of the way they've been playing throughout the second half of the campaign. They're not going to suddenly win three or four games to stay up in the relegation playoffs. You end up playing against a team that's finished round about between 5th and 8th in the Dutch second tier or 6th to 9th, something like that. And then you end up playing against a team that's come second or third in the final round if you get through that. I just don't see Excelsior doing that.
Yes.
And doing well with, yeah. But anyway, I got that slightly wrong because, of course, two teams get automatically promoted from the Dutch second tier. But anyone from around third to 10th, it depends what happens with the playoff positions in the second tier. It's all a bit of a crazy league. But anyway, with the bottom two, Volendam, far too leaky, as you can see that they are the team that concede the most goals in the Eredivisie. And Vitesse, they might not even be a club next season. It's really sad to hear. A big story surrounding them, having an awful season, having been in Europe only a couple of years ago. And yep, they are going down, aren't they? There's no way of them staying up. Their last five games are too tricky. And yeah, there are financial concerns with the side, and we wouldn't want to see any team go out of business, but a team of the size of Vitesse would be a big shame to lose. Yes. Let's hope they can still, even though they get relegated, let's hope they can rebuild, follow the likes of Twente and Groningen and Heracles, Pek Zwolle, all drop down a season to come back up again. And the Groningen might come back up this season. Vitesse are an example of a team that needed rebuild, but can they stay in business? I think it's the question.
Yeah, that's a big dilemma, really. I don't know if they can stay in business, but maybe the fans will help somehow. The fans will not allow it. I've seen that with many clubs before, you know. I think the only position in the table that is in question for now is what teams will be in the playoffs for the European competitions.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, the rest is all settled, I think. We know the winner, we know the second, we know the third, we pretty much know the fourth. We know who's going to be relegated. We know pretty much who's going to be in the playoffs. So I think the season is pretty much done, except for that position for the playoff, for the playoffs, for the European spot, yeah.
I agree with you. And also, the top goal scorer for the Eredivisie too is a little undecided. Pavlidis in 25, Luke de Jong in 24, Jimenez in 21. Interesting that we've got a member of each one of the five of the six top a player from each of the top six sides other than from NEC right here. So many goals in the league, and they've actually dried up a little bit for Jimenez, because he looked like he would be the top goal scorer hands down around about Christmas time, and Pavlidis and the struggling RZ has continued to score goals.
Yeah, Luke de Jong is still doing great, really, with PSV. He's one goal away of being the top of the table of the top scorers. Santiago Jimenez, I think playing in the Champions League affected him a little bit, you know, influenced him a little bit, because after losing the Champions League, he declined a few matches before he started scoring again and started performing well again. Of course, Brobbey is injured, so he's out of the race. Wolfswinkel, 13 goals. He's way behind them, but he's still the fifth top scorer. For me, as a fan of Dutch football and Dutch players, I'm glad to see three Dutch players in the top five, you know, yeah.
And let's hope Brian Robbie can, of course, get fit for the Euros. I think he'll be a big player, especially if Memphis Depay is injured. Yes. But anyway, like I said, keep pushing it down. We're not talking about the Netherlands today. We're talking about the Dutch Eredivisie. And I think something else that might be worth looking at will be the number of assists. Oh, actually, I did remember something with Jimenez. He hasn't really had a rest since about almost 2 years ago now, after last summer, of course, playing for Mexico and having all the games of last season added on top. This guy's in need of a rest, and I think he has just looked fatigued in the past couple of months, and that could play a big part too. As for assists, I thought they'd have assists on here, but I have seen it recently. Bakayoko's top of that, I think. I will do a quick check whilst talking about that, Abdul. Which of the players has stood out for you in the Eredivisie this season?
Wow, that's a tough question. It's just isn't it? It's not one player, actually. The player, I think that's how you say his name, Stein from Twente.
Sam Stein. Yeah, he had a good start of the season, but he stopped scoring goals recently.
But he created many chances. He created many goals for his team. I think also... From PSV, I would definitely choose Luke de Jong for scoring this number of goals for the team.
Yeah.
We have to really praise him for that. Not really one player. There are so many players, Michael. I cannot really give you one name, you know.
Looking at the total assists for the league, Luke de Jong's top of that with 11. Joe Veerman also has 11. Calvin Steng's 10. So three Dutch players topping it there. Bakayoko isn't top. I was wrong there. Tillman is also there from PSV. And then you've got the likes of Lauritsen from Sparta, Quentin Timber, Dan Rotz from Twente has had a good campaign from the right wing. Yeah, lots more players there. People can go and find the list online. But I think the thing to take away there is that you've got players like Malik Tillman have had a good campaign for PSV, Veerman and Bakayoko. Do they move on this summer? We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, if I get to choose one name, I would choose Timber, definitely. I've always been a fan of this player, and he's been doing great this season with Feyenoord. Yeah, so he is my number one player in the Eredivisie this season. Even in the Champions League, he did great, actually.
Yeah, he did. I've quite liked watching Timber. We've had a few extra questions out on Twitter, Abdul, so I'll bring those up. Our question about Jordan Taser, the PSV right back, is he underrated and should he be at the Euros with the Netherlands? when he has played for Netherlands, I haven't been that amazed by him, but he's done well for PSV in the current system.
Surprisingly, yesterday I was talking to my son about this, about Taser, if he should be a choice also as a right back for Orania, if Frimpong or Dumfries are injured, you know. I think he is underrated, really. People don't really talk much about him, but I don't really see him making mistakes at all with PSV. I think he's been having a very good season with the team. Maybe he does deserve to be with Orania for the Euro if we have injuries, because for now, definitely, Frimpong and Dumfries are our first choice.
Sure. And something about Luke de Jong, should he make himself available for the Euros? But he won't. He has made that really clear that he won't. And those were all our questions on Twitter. So, Abdul, I just thought we'd finish with something that I haven't been asked to do, but to be fair, I don't know if people are interested. The things that are in my background here, I've got some nice sort of Dutch football souvenirs, which might interest some people. I don't know if people have seen, of course, what I've added to the scarf collection over here. To the left of the Holland flag, we've got the Villa RZ flag, scarf and a Villa Ajax scarf going to both of those games. Really special seeing my favourite team play some Dutch teams. And then over this side over here, people maybe haven't had a good enough look, but we've still got our lovely award up there somewhere where we won that content award. And we've got some match programmes. So there's one of Arda Den Haag against Heerenveen from years ago.
Wow,
the Nack nice. Breda match programme there. Now, I thought if we've got RZ Ajax on the wall, we've got to have some final. So I've got a final match programme there as well from a game nice. I went to. There's nice. A book there that's a good read. If you've never read it before, to the Netherlands, Beautiful Bridesmaids in Orania. It's a good book. And then, yeah, there's some bits of piece up there from matches that I've been to as press. But yeah, I've got to say, there's a bit of PSV missing up there. I need something PSV related to add to the collection. But I've got like something from most Dutch clubs. So every time I go to the Netherlands, if I see a stadium or I go to a game, I get some kind of like souvenir for it. You're a big fanatic of the Netherlands, aren't you, Abdul? So you've got lots of Holland merchandise. Maybe you can show us some of it sometime. You've probably got some right there. You have a look for it a second whilst I fill.
well, I have
something that I've always made a big passion of is collecting bits and pieces. I mean, I had an Ajax toothbrush. I got a Sparta Rotterdam like tote bag. I've got a PSV doff, a hat that I like to wear sometimes. So nice. I've got something for most clubs at this point, but it's maybe not on display behind me. I have to try and find them and put them on show. Yeah, Abdul, what have you got?
I have this book of Ruud Gullit, and it's signed actually by him. When he visited Kuwait in 2007, I took a picture with him. He signed the book for me. And of course, I have another book for Ruud Gullit, How to Watch Football. It's a very interesting book. And of course, Johan Cruyff, My Turn. And of course, with so many toys that, you know, represent Dutch players, this is De Ligt, Van Nistelrooy, Snyder. And this is again De Ligt and Snyder. So I do have so many toys, so many things. I can go on and on, really. These things never bore me. So, yeah.
Well, Abdul, it's been great talking to you anyway. What we've realised was, we're off air, we said this before, that we want to talk about the Eredivisie for quite a while. And people also just want to hear us rant and just jabber on about Dutch football. So I hope that some of you out there listening still, you enjoyed this show. And if you did, of course, give us a big like and subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already. check out much more that we've got over on Twitter and the website as well, footballdanny.com. But Abdul, it's been really enjoyable, hasn't it? And I hope people have enjoyed this.
Thank you so much, Michael. Thank you so much.
And thank you to everyone that enjoys these as well, that have been asking me. I get DMs on Twitter sometimes, people going, oh, when can we have a show on this? Can we just have this? Really enjoy hearing you just to talk about this. So we hope that we've given you that fix. Right then, that's all from us now. If you want to leave us a comment on YouTube, you can do it as well about anything we've talked about today. If you want anything else, maybe a bit of merchandise showing, we'll have to prepare it all for you and we can do that for you at some point. But thank you everyone for watching, and you are why we do this. So thank you. And we'll from us soon, of course, much more on the Netherlands for the upcoming Euros.